Am I fuzzy?
Holy smoke, you are actually in one piece. You're not jittery and audio.
Crystal clear.
How I like it.
Goodness, the universe has spoken. We can continue on with episode 44.
I was schwitzing for a good week, crossing fingers that this would work, testing that. Okay, so I'm looking good here.
Yep.
Relatively.
Yeah, you're good here, which is good. Yeah, there's no fuzziness. Your voice and everything else is actually synchronized.
All right. Well, folks, welcome to the show. Welcome to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. For those of you who weren't on last week, let me tell you.
it was a catastrophe.
Dumpster fire.
Had a mental breakdown on the sidelines while Maria was holding down the fort. Bless you. Anyway, it's good to be back. It's like, this is the best. Oh, yes. Thank you, Ally. This is the best time of the week, I swear. I mean, without this, I don't know where I would be.
Probably curled up in a corner like the rest of us, gibbering away and wanting to throw rocks at most of the rest of our industry. At least this way we get to throw relatively civilized rocks back. Sometimes civilized rocks back.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, okay, so here's how it's going to go. For those of you who are new to the show and for those who are veterans, we're going to break down a crappy sales or marketing message today. We're going to actually go through 16, I think.
We have a long list to go through.
And then we're going to shift into an interesting conversation about communication, not just between marketing and sales and vendors, but between all of us in the industry, the practitioners, the board, regulators, all the fun jazz. So if you do have questions, drop them in the comments, or if you want to come on live and actually talk to us, validate anything, go through a specific outreach message, or just talk with us, let me know and I'll bring you on the show happily. Let's dig in, shall we?
Yep.
We shall.
All right, Chris.
All right, I'm opening up the junk folder. See, what have I had in this morning? I've had one this morning. We wish to inform your company that invite your esteemed company participate in our ongoing potential supply vendor. Yeah, no. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Take me through the 16 things. You did the...
All right, we're going to do the 16 things. I'm actually going to hit the first one because it's one of those ones that just drives me freaking nuts. Apparently, with 2024 around the corner, the top influencers and the top CISO and the top this and the top everything awards are about to start to get hit in the inbox. So I got this one. Hi, Chris. I hope you are having a great day. I am glad to inform you that the editorial team of CIO Look has finalized the decision to present Chris Roberts in bold the opportunity to get featured on the cover story of the 10 most influential people in cybersecurity for 2024. About this edition. This edition will provide a prestigious platform for proficient professionals who can't speak at this moment, who are outshining in their roles and responsibilities as leaders of an organization have considered editorial and advertising provisions for the cover story. 6 full page profiles. So I get my front picture, my side picture, the picture from the back of my bald head, and a whole bunch of others. Image on the cover page. A digital certificate of my participation. I get a participation medal. Woo! I get reprint rights, I get logos, thought leadership article space, all for the cost opportunity of $2,000 for branding and promotional through our print and online magazine. It'll be a complete 1 year branding exercise. Now, actually, aside from the bullshit side of it, if there's actually some promotional stuff and there's 2,000 to like a whole, if there was actually a shit ton load of promotional stuff and all this other crazy stuff and they went out there and beat the drum, if it was somebody that needed to like get a bit of a head start, it's probably not a bad way of looking at it. But I've never really dealt with CIO Look, whoever the heck these folks are. And
CIO Mag is legit, I feel
CIO
like.
CIO Mag is legit. Yeah, absolutely. This is not CIO Mag. This is CIO Look.
We did this, what? This was like, I'm looking back at the previous episodes. Oh, it's literally nearly a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this. I mean, this is one of the blasted things. So and it's frustrating because on one hand, you know, I actually got hit up on LinkedIn. Somebody hit me up. Actually, I'm going to bring it up now. My message is on LinkedIn. Somebody else has actually hit me up with reference to, there we go. Hi, Chris. I'm a member of the company, an innovative tech-enabled solution that specializes in optimizing executives' online presence and developing industry-level thought leadership. Now, I got to be honest, there is a part of me, because everybody's like, wow, you've got all these followers and you've got this, and how have you done them? Fucked if I know. It's haphazard as all hell. There's no planning behind any of my shit. I put a post out when I feel like it. I put whatever hashtags come to mind at the moment in time, and I just go. There's no pre-planning, pre-loaded. There isn't a plan. Let's just put it that way. And so there is a part of me that, you know, these folks are going to talk about, you know, executive social optimization, content strategies, engagement. I mean, there's a part of me that actually wouldn't mind having somebody take a poke at what I do and go, hey, you could optimize it, especially with LinkedIn changing its bloody algorithms every 5 minutes. There is definitely the potential for somebody to go, hey, you know, we'll look at you every month, every 3 months or whatever, and you can tweak it. There's a part of me that actually wouldn't mind some help with that, but it depends what cost. This isn't that. This is just, you know, pat myself on the back, get a participation medal, spend $2,000, and off I go for that one. So, you know, it's there's a little frustration on it, should we say.
It's interesting. Right. So they're asking next. You to.
Let Danny. Maria, go for it.
I had a question. So they're asking you to pay they're asking you to pay the $2,000.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, that's like my sponsorship cost to cover their. Because
okay. You know, we've done, like, remember we did the one, but the vendors had to pay.
Yes. That was because Cecil does some stuff like that. We'll go up on stage and we say obviously a few words and some other stuff on that one. So there's definitely a few of those where you're right, the vendors pay. This is the we pay thing. This is I would get hit with a bill on this.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so that's probably one of the more prevalent ones. I think that's one that a lot of us are going to get hit with in this industry. And it frustrates me because, I mean, there are definitely some awards out there which are kind of cool, but the pay-to-play awards, I have no real time for.
Yeah, well, and I wouldn't necessarily do that again either, because there wasn't really any, outside of being supportive of a friend, there wasn't really any benefit for us as a company one.
Now,
you remember? No. You had to leave early. You didn't like it.
Oh, that was the cult.
Yes.
That was the Obi cult.
Okay, there's a backstory here.
Oh, my God. Okay, so yeah, backstory is this. So long story short, we'll be close on this one. So Charles got nominated for something, an award. And it's one that apparently is like regional, and then there's national and all this kind of good stuff. And, you know, in some ways, it's a rightly kind of thing. It was put up for like CIO of the Year or CIO of Colorado or something like that. It was actually a pretty cool one. And, you know, Charles is freaking awesome. So it was nice. A bunch of us went along and supported him. But I think it's one of those things where this wasn't just an award to say thank you. This was an award for the award ceremony company to beat their own chest and say how marvelous they are at promoting the awards and people and everything else. And how, you know, if you do, and we went along to a ceremony that I thought was an award ceremony, but it was like a pre-briefing award ceremony, which you could sponsor. Then you could sponsor the award ceremony. Then you could sponsor the da da da. I was like, motherfuckers, this is nothing more than, this is like Kirby salespeople. I'm surprised that we didn't actually have to get up on our freaking chairs and sing to the company profile or something. It was a little scary, to say the very least. And it sucks because it didn't come off as that. When it came off as like a very, very legit, hey, this is recognizing people for the right reasons of recognizing people, but it very much became very much almost like the cult of Orbi, I hate to say it. Yeah, it was definitely a little scary. It's probably a nice way to put it.
My goodness.
All right. Let's hit the next one.
All right, next.
I like
that. We have a lot.
I'm going to skip to this one. I'm skipping number two. So for those of you that hit the LinkedIn post, I'm skipping to number three. This was a fantastic one. This one came in and I was like, WTF, because I'm going to read the whole thing. My team had the opportunity to connect with one of our people, former Infotech security analyst, regarding your DLP coverage for blah, 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 back in May 2021. From my notes, the project was da-da-da-da-da-da. In short, we use AIML to instantly detect, redact, and detect sensitive data. Interested in learning more. 2 years between reach out, people. Almost 2 years. You know, May is, you know, 5 months in. So like 18 months between reach outs. I mean, I don't mind being left alone. If somebody on the team had said, hey, we're not dealing with this for the minute, I'm good with you hanging out for 3 months, but 18 months and then coming back and going, hi, we'd love to book a meeting with you for 40 minutes after 18 months. Yeah, I might want to have a conversation with my customer service people.
Was it the same person reaching out, or was it two different? Because maybe there was, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. Maybe there was a swap in reps that were covering the account or something. I don't know.
Neither do I. I mean, it was just like, hi, Chris, my team had the opportunity to connect regarding your back in May 21. From my notes, the project was da da da. So I'm going to assume it's the same person. I'm going to assume this.
I would have just left out the I connected with you 18. I would have just said we connected in the past and talked about DLP. Yeah. Like, maybe do that.
Tell me about it. Because at that point, you know, it's like anything. It's like if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, there's that level of guilt. Like, oh, Yvay, I haven't talked to them in, you know, X amount of time. Sometimes you just want to send a friendly picture. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you actually want to apologize. Like, hey, I'm sorry we've not connected in such a long time. And I'm guilty of that a bunch, especially on like LinkedIn and some of the other social media platforms. You know, there'll be a year goes between me talking to certain people. And that's just, it is what it is sometimes. But yeah,
we can't analyze the signals. Do you want us to talk to you like in 3 months, in 18 months? We just don't know.
Apparently almost 2 years, like, oh shit, we got to talk to him again.
Yeah, seriously. What's the sweet spot?
For me, quarterly.
Oh, hi. Quarterly. You were curled up on the bed. How are you doing?
I would say the same thing. I also ask if I'm on a call with somebody, it's an initial call and there's no opportunity. I just ask what's appropriate. I'm not going to go away, but I'm not going to be a pain in your butt. What's appropriate for follow-up?
Yeah. And I think that's to me is the perfect way, especially if it's like a perfect example is at the moment. I was meant to have a meeting Friday, I think, with somebody. And I'm looking at the calendar, and then I'm also looking at like where we are from an organization on what we're focused on or not focused on. I'm like, look, it's useless to have the call. It was the C3 folks. They wanted to have a follow-up, and I'm like, it just isn't the right time. I mean, we are at the moment in a holding pattern. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And in a holding pattern, yes, I want to kind of keep some conversations. But there are some times I'm like, we ain't going to be doing much. And honestly, I want to save you a couple of hours of your time and prep and all the shit that I know you'll do behind the scenes. Quite honestly, I want my hour back because I'm going to say nothing more than like, hey, yeah, we're planning. Well, great. Can't do much more than that at the moment. And I can plan on my own. I don't need other people telling me.
That's super respectful, though. Like, I really appreciate it. We have a mutual friend, Mike Anderson. Yeah. We've had conversations, and there's not an opportunity now, but he emailed me and said that. He's like, hey, I know we have a touch point. I don't have any opportunity for you right now. And I was like, that's cool. Thanks for letting me know. Do you still want to hop on and catch up for 5 minutes on life?
Yeah.
And so we do that, right? And actually, I owe him a calendar invite for January. I need to make a note of that. So. But that's nice because now you're not wasting my time.
That's how I look at it. Yeah, and I had another good friend. I'm actually catching up with him for lunch. We were meant to catch up the other day. I'm like, look, I'm running around like a lipstick, and I just got back. I just got this going on. I do not have the mental bandwidth to focus on this conversation. I'm like, I'm going to be in Golden on Wednesday. You want to catch up? Then just go grab a cup of coffee. I said, from a work standpoint, it's all quiet, but I'm happy to go grab coffee because I'm actually going to go. I'll go bike up Lookout Mountain, come back down, hit up with him. Going to go bike up probably the mountain again. I'll do a couple of laps up and down Lookout, and then going to go catch up with Morgan. So I can combine, and it's going to be an easy conversation because it's just it's a catch up. And I appreciated the fact he's like, yeah, no problem. You know, because I mean, this last few days has been running around like an idiot. All right, next. Let's hit the next one. I trust this message finds you thriving. Fuck off. 2023 has been a fucking dumpster fire. It has been nasty, horrible, arsehole-ish, and everything else. Roll on 2024. And if you'd have spent 30 seconds looking at my fucking LinkedIn, you would have understood that. So no, 2023 was not thriving. Up yours with brass knobs on.
I also find the language was there. It was tough.
She has been fucking
But hard. I was just going to say, I also find the language that was used in that one odd. Like, it just, it doesn't seem genuine to me. I don't know.
Condescending.
It's another
trust that this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who talks
And there
like
are
that?
Other people that, there are other people that will spend like 30 seconds looking on the profile and going, hey, go. There are other people that will do other things. I like this one. I won't presume you have a need. Can you spare 40 minutes? Now, I'm paraphrasing. I'm actually going to see if I can find the actual email, because that was.
Well, okay. That's fair in the beginning to say, I won't presume you have a need. No? I mean, I feel like, don't assume that, you know, you need me, but give me 40 minutes of your time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Like,
it doesn't make sense. That's not a logical thing. Hi, I don't have any idea what you need.
I'm going to read the whole email. I'll read the whole message. Hi, Chris. Hope this message finds you well. Read the fucking LinkedIn. The end of 2023 is so close now, but at the company, we find December one of our busiest months. Is yours off to a good start? Again, read LinkedIn. The reason for reaching out is hopefully soon we will be looking to wind down for the festivities. You're making an assumption that I actually pander to the Hallmark holiday neo-Christian monitoring system, and that I don't actually celebrate something in the middle of, I don't know, March or April. While closing out 2023, we'd love to understand if our services could be a good fit as part of your cybersecurity practice next year. That part of it's fair. I'll give them that credit. They're at the right time to have a conversation about 2024. To summarize, company, in a nutshell, we specialize in pen testing as a service, manually or perhaps automated on a regular basis. The methods we take are agnostic, first principle behavior, and fully supported by ISO, GDPR, and best practice. Fair-ish. I won't presume you have a need, but would love to understand if we can add value to what you do today, either technically or commercially. Can you spare 40 minutes via Teams to meet with me? It's a balance.
There were good parts and bad parts.
Yes, and I think that's it. There were absolutely some good parts in there, but there's some stuff in there that's just like, no.
I think you could have skipped the whole beginning part of it and just get to, here's what we are, here's what we do. If this could add value, would you like to have a conversation?
There we go. Yeah, like, it's give me, yeah. And I think that's the best way of looking at it, because there's, you know, to some degree, context is useful, but another degree, again, the way I always look at this is, as a CISO, I'm going to look at the email. In fact, I didn't look at this. This was in the spam. It went straight to the spam folder. I didn't even see it until I went looking to see what I was going to talk about in the podcast. You got 10 seconds, 15 at a push to actually that first. I mean, and in some ways, it isn't the human first impressions, but it's like, you know, I look at the spam folder and you got 15 seconds. You know, and that's really.
And I think that's generous, Chris, because again, like to your point, you would never even read that if it wasn't for you were looking for material for today. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like I almost think half of this doesn't even get clicked open. So you almost even have to have a good compelling title line for most of your peers to even look at.
Yeah. I mean, this title line on this actually wasn't bad. It was 2024 pen testing plans. So, you know, to give it credit, it actually wasn't bad. It wasn't, you know, some of this crap like supercharge your business operations or first reminder for the 10 most, or Chris, could your marketing efforts use a refresh? Catherine, could your analysis of what I do for a living probably use a refresh? Yes. You know, I mean, so, you know, I think that's, there were definitely some good parts in that one, but there are definitely, to me, again, back to your point, Maria, is, I don't care if December's your busiest month. I really don't care. I don't give a shit. I really don't.
And I think too, the other thing is that there was no value add in that email at all for you. And they were already asking for something.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. Like, to me, I think it's really important that if you're going to ask for something, you're giving something of value in return, first,
yeah.
If that makes sense. So whether it's go ahead.
What would be a value add?
All companies have different, you know, most companies are publishing different blogs. There's different white papers. Maybe it's a news article that's relevant to the content that you're talking about. Do something that's going to add value to the human being that you're trying to reach out to. It's kind of like, I think, I forget who said it, but it's George's podcast. There was one episode where they say you need to give value three times before you ask something in return. And I tend to see that often in my outreach as well, where I'm providing information, touch points or whatever. And then eventually, and a friend of mine this morning sent an example of just that, where he's been doing outreach politely, but has provided this human he was trying to get engaged with content of value that helped him. And finally, after months of doing that, this person said, next time we chat, I'd like to learn more about what you and your company do.
Yeah.
Right. But that's because he spent the time to give,
well, I mean,
give value
I'll
to
be
this
honest.
Individual.
I mean, I look at the news by that briefing, the weekly Intel briefings, fucking brilliant. I actually really
great. I'll tell Justin.
Really
I'll be happy to hear that. Josh.
Because it's really nice. Good. Ironically, that was the spur for me doing that CVE, the Pokemon CVE thing, because I'm looking through it. And it kicked off a whole set of conversations because we've already been talking about like how ineffective some of the Jamf stuff was and Ninja and some of the other stuff that we got running around the place. And we started looking at like where OS levels were on the Mac side of it, the Windows side and some other stuff. And, you know, I was sitting there and I'm like, well, why hasn't mine updated? Why is it only? And so it actually spurred off a couple of questions because I'm looking through the CVE stuff and, you know, dear Apple Mac, you know, freaking CVE for whatever version of flavor of Mac it was. And I'm like, I'm below that. Get it changed. And so we started looking at why and why not. And then I got yelled at by the team. They're like, and I'll freely admit it on air, I'm like, the last time I rebooted this laptop was 200 days ago.
Chris.
Bad CISO.
So I don't know. I just think there's a balance of like being a little bit, you can add your personality into it, but too much fluff, they're gonna stop reading.
Well, I think that's it. So, I want personality. I think that's probably a key part of it. I mean, you can put personality in 3 freaking sentences for crying out loud. You got to be careful. And I think to Danny's like, but you got to be careful because you get too much personality, you're going to come off as arsehole or crass. And we went through that. Was that last week? A couple of weeks ago, I remember going through some of that stuff. I don't need another bro club. I don't need anything else like that. I want a little bit of like, hey, I'm actually talking to a human, not an AI generated or another fucking Salesforce. Or that I want to know there's another human at the other end of the line, because the chances are I might retaliate a little less unfriendly.
Yeah.
All right. I want to hit this next one. I like this one. This one's great. This one is, did I bring it up already? No, I did. Okay, this one's fantastic. This one. So every single one of these, by the way, is now getting, I have a default. I'm actually going to put it on our internal chat. And Danny, if you want to post it somewhere, go for it. I'm actually going to put it on our internal chat. So every single one of these, I now retort to. Did it send the whole thing? No, it doesn't. Oh, I hate systems when they don't do that. All right, that's only half of it. All right, we'll do it afterwards. Anyway, because it's basically a whole, what I do is I now retort with, maybe I'll do that as a post tomorrow. I now send a retort email. Now, I used to send a longer one, and I actually got chastised by somebody inside the organization who is no longer with the organization. So I send a retort back, which is, hi, you're getting this because, let's face it, what hit my inbox wasn't sent with love, care, or research. Please feel free to watch a couple of the episodes to see how better to approach folks in our industry. I put a link into us. If this doesn't resonate, then I understand. But please remove me from your outbound marketing and sales messages. Thank you. Many thanks, Chris. And that's now how I retort. I basically retort with that, hi. I retort with that and then just the link to the conference, the link to the thing. And, you know, that way you at least give people a chance to actually go, why the hell we're about to talk about you. All right, so we're going to talk about this one. All right. Hi, Chris. I trust this email finds you well. We won't even go into 2023. I am happy to tell you more about how to steer your organization towards a strong security posture. We have helped some of the UK's and world's largest software developers, and they start putting company names in there. Yay! Thanks for telling me who your companies are. Start with an AppSec approach to their software development life cycles. Please find some links and resources about us, and below is a technical demo from our solutions architect, which then follows 7 bullet points, a whole play, resources, secure code warrior, competitive advantage, the fact that they put their customers first, their customer system, and is this something that's interesting? I mean, This is long.
Yeah, a novel. They didn't even listen.
This is bullet points and bullet points. I got three demos, one integration, one missions thing, language, and I mean six. Help!
I feel like we went over this on an actual episode. I don't know. Maybe it was 10 or so.
But apparently, they can steer my organization, which is very happy. If we had a steering wheel and we knew where the rudder was, I'd be even happier. But. Yeah, so they are going to fix my organization by overwhelming me with demos and bullet points. It sounds like one of the big four companies, doesn't it?
Again, I mean, they got lucky because you actually replied.
I did. Hi.
Like you gave an actual response, which could have gone in a good direction. I mean, remember the time when we first met, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, yes. No, I wasn't. I was. Yeah. Okay.
You chomped a little bit.
I did. There was a gentle chomp.
It was good, though. It was good. So here we are. You know, a few years later. Oh, Floofy.
Hi, Milo.
Yes.
So pronounced. Well, I think to me for that one, right at the beginning, the language is a little bit off-putting. Like, let me tell you how to steer your.
Totally. That's a hell of a presumptuous statement, isn't it? It's like, hi, you have no fucking clue what you're doing. I'll fix you. Thanks.
Not great.
I get relatively well compensated for a CISO. In theory, I should know what the hell I'm doing.
At this point of the year, I'm just like, fix me. Just fix me. All right.
Oh, we have to have the walkthrough. We got to talk about Tiny Tim. Do not bring up a Tiny Tim case. I forgot about Tiny Tim. I watched Tiny Tim yesterday when I was putting this LinkedIn post together. It ain't pretty. It scared me. I'd forgotten how. Yeah, let's just say somebody could do like the next Scream with Tiny Tim and the voice. It would not be pretty, and people would run from the theaters. If nobody knows what we're talking about, please Google Tiny Tim and just play 15 seconds of the video, and it's not my fault.
Okay, all right. What's the next next one on the shit list here?
I think I got another one that just came in as well. I got hi. That now I switch over to the LinkedIn world. I'm going to see. Oh, there we go. Oh, there we go. Yeah. I got another one this morning. I got a live one, literally. Hi, Chris. I was intrigued by your extensive background.
Yay!
And was wondering if you're open to exploring new opportunities. You know, I did have the open to work on my profile, so, you know, maybe there's something on that one. Would you be interested in finding out about more potential franchise ownership opportunities and options in your area? If so, would you mind sharing a good phone call? Really? I mean, no. These are coming in thick and fast. Like, they're coming in thick and fast. I mean, I'm probably getting a couple of, hi. Dear LinkedIn, y'all need to fix your fucking algorithm, because can I put like a no franchise tag on mine?
I do get a lot of those.
Is it seasonal?
No. I think they're consistent. I get those Actually, there is a
problem. What if they would have said something instead of your intriguing background? Like, let's just forget what it was for, right? Just like the opening. What if they would have said something specific about your background that intrigued them?
So I've had a couple of folks have done that. And I think it depends on, Cody, Avish. Apparently we're all getting these ones. I've had a few people, let me just go to my profile for a second. I've had a few people that have actually, because I used to have it like approach with Isla Whiskey and something else along those lines.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. People will read like those first two sentences, maybe the first sentence or something on the summer, like approach with whiskey and biscuits or whatever it was. Here's where I do not appreciate it, because I'll get it. Hi, Chris. Yeah, I'm approaching you with a bottle of Isla and some whiskeys. And let me tell you something.
And that's not even trying, though. If you're going to go with the first two taglines, like if I do stuff like that, what I'm doing is I go into your posts and I will find one from months ago.
Yeah.
So it shows
I got three of those today. Like they open up with some kind of context and they're like, okay, by the way, here's me.
Can we?
There we go. Here it is. Approach carefully with tea biscuits or Isla whiskey. Don't connect to try and sell me something. I will flambe you. I mean, I'm making it fucking obvious. Let's face it. I can't be any more obvious. Oh, I can be. I could probably run over there. And I think that's one of those things where, to your point, it's, I have no problem if somebody actually reads the profile and goes, hey, joking, you know, which Isla Whiskey do you like? And we have a conversation. But if that conversation ridiculously quickly switches through and let me sell you something, or let me get you on a 30-minute phone call, or it just simply means they've read to find one snippet and they've ignored everything else around it. And that is where I get frustrated. If somebody hits me up and says, hey, I think in the entire time I've been on LinkedIn, I've maybe had three people. I can think of two deliberately, so I'm adding another one in there just for the thing. I've had maybe three people that have had a laugh and said, so you were at Oxford in 1900. You want to explain this one? And I'm like, thank you. Because if you look at my, because I actually did study quantum mechanics and some other stupid shit at Oxford, but I sure as hell didn't study in 1900 to 1902. And so every now and again, you'll have people will hit that and we'll be like, what the fuck? And then, so at least that way, I know they've read through it.
Right.
But there's so much of this crap that, Oh my gosh, he did it. Oh, I love him. Jack Hewitt's on the, I think Jack's on here at the moment. So Jack has done the same thing that Alan Alpha did. So Alan has his dog as his, like, you know, one of the roles inside his company on LinkedIn.
So Jasper.
On LinkedIn
profile.
Yes.
Did Jasper you turn Jasper
has,
into one?
Jasper yeah. has his own LinkedIn profile as chief infosec.
That's awesome. That is
fucking brilliant. And actually, what I do love about it, I love the fact that Jack, sorry, squirreling for a minute on this one. I love the fact that Jack has actually taken like the life of a donkey and has like taken some of those life lessons and is applying it to the stuff that we do in our industry. I think it's fantastic. I love the app. Snack
Should we
dog.
Have a LinkedIn profile for Poppy?
What are you Hi, doing Poppy. There? Get your ass out of there. Hi, yeah, you.
I need to get this one a LinkedIn profile, but I'm not going to because I'd cry in a few months' time. But I love the fact that Jack does this because it's, I love it when, you know, our job, especially as leaders in the industry and like the three of us here, our job is to actually, is like the old sages and the old wise, the wise folks that used to sit around the fireplace. It's to take the ideas that, you know, hey, that cave over there is dangerous, don't go into it, and turn it into a story or a fable that everybody's going to remember and then have people tell it. So I love it when we take, you know, abstract weird things that are around us and use them to describe our own industry or what's going on or feelings or thoughts. And so, like, full support for that. It's freaking awesome. All right.
Well, and the way that he does it too is so, it's so well done in terms of bridging the gap from like the technical to non-technical so that people that aren't experts in the particular field he focuses in, because he's got a lot of his posts around vulnerability management or something, I can't remember, but however he distills it down, it's in a way that I can easily read it one time and I understand what he's talking about, instead of some of this other stuff where I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What did I just read? I'm confused.
Well, it's somebody just said it the way, there we go. Yeah, Ally said it. It's a throw up, show up and throw up situation. And I think that's, you're right, that not just this, the post, that not just this email I got, but so many things on LinkedIn. You get people that just cut and paste from news articles or repost without putting their own context and their own ideas and thoughts behind it. You get some people that post crap on there, and I swear they do it just to see if they can show how smart they are. Whereas to me, the smarter people are the ones that take those crazy ideas and are able to distill them so that everybody can understand them and take something away from them.
Or summarize the key points. Hey, I read this. Here's what stood out about it to me and why.
Yeah.
Once you read it, drop a comment below. Let's have a dialogue
about
it. Yeah. Those are helpful.
Yeah, that I do love. I mean, a perfect example, like all the stuff that's going on at the moment with the SEC and some of the other stuff with like CISOs and the issues that we're seeing. I don't want to plow through pages and pages of documentation. I look for some of the posts where it's like, hey, let me explain to you. Gary Hayslip has done a fantastic job. There are some other folks that have done a really, really nice job of actually just explaining that.
This is a huge, huge, huge tip, by the way, people. FYI.
Which Go bit? It.
Break it down for people. Like,
oh,
salespeople,
gosh, yeah,
right?
100%. Yeah.
Break it down for buyers.
Yeah. Well, I think it's totally that. I mean, it's the same thing we're doing. Honestly, it's the same thing we're doing. All right, let me go through the, what else do we have? Let's have a look. How are we doing time? We're good. Are you interested in free? Nothing is free. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I actually responded to this one exactly the way I'm just about to say it. Oh, this was fantastic. This was a pity me, Will. Hang on, where is it? I'm going to find my crew. That was it. Oh, and they actually responded, which actually made me like, what the fuck? You know, I'll give them credit for here we go. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so this was actually there. Let's have a look. They sent one on October 16th, November the 1st. November 17th and then November 28th. And I responded yesterday. So the first one was, Hi, it's Chris. It's Abraham from New York Savings. I came across your profile. Looks like you may qualify for whatever the heck ERC is. May I ask if you've already taken advantage of that?
I don't know.
Then he sent me another one on November 1st. The requirements have changed. 80% of previously unendable businesses can now qualify. So first and foremost, he's actually not even looked to see that I don't actually own Boob Supersonic. There's a few other people above me in the food chain that do. Then November 17th. Hi, Chris. Any updates on this? My silence should be deafening, little buddy. And then November 28th was the pity me. Chris, are my emails reaching your inbox? We can purchase your check and have the money to you in as little as 5 days. And I just said, you know, are my emails reaching out? So I'm like, nope, they've been eaten by Gru. And I just, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to respond. That's all I'm going to put back.
Did they say anything?
Oh,
back?
Yeah. Give him credit for tenacity because I'm about to send him back my standard one. I've removed you from my list. Great. Didn't end there. Out of curiosity, have you already filed for it? I'm like, you asshole. I mean, 10 out of 10 for tenacity, 0 out of 10 for just due diligence, analysis, analytics, the whole lot. So he's getting a retort. Bless him.
These are absolutely fabulous. I dropped this in the link. I dropped the link in the comments for anybody who wants to go through this again. And in the show notes, I'm going to drop the link to the post too. So anyone goes back to the audio.
All right, I'm going to do another one. Hi, Chris. We've noticed you've been away from VMware. Yeah, your point is. There's a reason we haven't talked in 12 months, buddies. If you can't figure that one out, then maybe you gotta go look in the mirror. Yeah.
So to summarize, like just top 3 points here you'd take away from this list and like alternative better approaches to it. Maria, Chris, what do you think?
Maria, you just hit it first.
From the top of your head.
All right. I think there's a balance between personality and get to the point and keep it succinct. I think that's the first thing. I think if you can add value and summarize why you think the thing you're sending or providing them is going to add value, just a few bullet points. Hey, I think this might interest you because it does blah, blah, blah. Give it a read. Let me know your thoughts. And then the third thing I think is when you're using LinkedIn, it's not appropriate to ask for a meeting in the first thing. That takes time. And I think it's only appropriate, in my opinion, to ask for something like, when I do that, I've had engagement. So I'm on their profiles. I'm liking their content. I'm commenting on their content. I'm sending notes about why I liked it. And then once there's enough level of trust, like this person sees, oh, she's not like a jerk. Then I can say, hey, would it be okay to connect for 20 minutes, virtual coffee? I'm not going to try and sell you anything. Just talk shop. Mm-hmm. And then that way you at least know we exist if something ever comes up in the future. There's a right and wrong kind of way to do this stuff, I think.
Yeah, Avi says something very valid also. Just get to the point. Like, be very clear about what your intentions are.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good one. Literally just, this hit the inbox just now. Hi, Chris. There are moments when you feel the burdens of the world easing off your weary shoulders just by how someone communicates. It's about their attentive listening and offering the perfect words of solace when you require them most. Your customers yearn for such understanding. Regarding customer support services, most customers wish to discover support agents who can proficiently solve their queries. As a provider of call center services, our skilled agents excel in delivering exceptional support, often performing quasi-therapy when needed.
What's quasi-therapy? I don't even know what therapy is at this point.
Oy vey. Bless Michelle.
I feel like somebody asked ChatGPT to send a letter about therapy as it pertains to call centers.
Let's try it.
I feel like pull it up, Danny, and give it a prompt, and I bet we get something very similar because that's what that sounded like.
Yeah. Oh my giddy aunt. We're just gonna leave it as oh my giddy aunt. Here's the other thing that actually pisses me off about this. Okay, so actually while we're talking about this stuff for a second, and I mean really pissed about this shit. And Danny, I think I can't remember if me or you were on this one, but no, Danny, you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, which is we called somebody to task and then they finally responded that the actual person that was sending the email wasn't even a fucking live person, it was just And yeah, actually, we did talk about this one. That I think also pisses me off as well. It's Yeah, I don't like that because it's like, again, I want a real person. I am loving some of these freaking comments. Quasi therapy, a new approach. Try using old English. Oh yeah, I'm yearning for the shift delete function. Yeah, I'm not yearning for burden to be released on my shoulders. I'm a CISO. We kind of get paid to have burden on our shoulders. All right, so what have I missed? Have I missed any fantastic ones? Steering recruitment as you pay a lot for a bad fit. Tired of adding layers to your digital security. I had to retort on that one, which is like, you presume much. Some of us enjoy InfoSec Jenga. That had to be sent back. That was a fantastic one. Oh, the $50 Amazon gift card. Yeah, I'm getting pissed off with those as well. Every now and then I'll get those like, hey, we recognize you're a leader. We'd like to offer you money for, you know, all of your information. I'm like, no, but thanks anyway.
The list goes on and on and on. And I wonder what the new ones are going to be in 2024. I don't know that it's going to get better in 2024.
Even a week. This is less than a week selective.
Are these coming in like as, I'm just curious as to how they're hitting. Is it like an in-mail? Is it somebody you're connected with already? So it's just a message? Is it a lot of them connection requests?
So if it's, so some of the stuff is LinkedIn, some was email. The email stuff, about half of them are coming in as in-mails.
Okay.
Yeah, about half of them are coming in as in-mails. So if I go to my other folder, yeah, in-mail. One that I connected to that I've now unconnected from, and a whole bunch of others. Yeah, there's, it's just a mess. Emails, regular ones, and then emails are just emails, but 98% of the emails are heading straight into spam. So yeah, so very,
yeah, it's
make it through.
It's you know, Cody makes a great point. It's going to get annoying in 2024. It's not going to get better. I want to shift the conversation because we have 18 minutes, and I do want to touch on this. We went through some questions yesterday, but one thing that I'm hearing a lot in the qualitative research I'm doing with security buyers and with practitioners is that the actual practitioners need to understand their audiences, just like marketers and sales need to understand their buyers too, right? Like, you're working cross department, you're working with boards, you're working with regulators, you're working with lawyers, you're working with, you know, colleagues on your team, right? In order to do your job well, you need to understand them well. In order for them to do their job well, you need to understand them well for a more secure organization. But the thing is, I don't see that practically, like I don't see it practically executed in the practitioner community, unless I'm wrong. You tell me, Chris, like, keep me real here. Like, bring me back down to earth. Like, I don't see people talking about it very, very prominently online, unless I'm wrong. And so I kind of want to dig into that, right? Like, why you think there's a gap between the theory and the practical and implementation of like communication between departments and insecurity.
So I think there's a couple of things. A lot of the CISO community, we do talk, but we talk behind the scenes. So, I mean, you know, a lot of us put LinkedIn posts out. Gary Haysup's another one. There's a lot of us. Amory's in there. Kirsten's in there. A whole bunch of us. I mean, there's 300-400 of us in the Tinkerers group alone. And that was, you know, Rob, I, and Will Lynn set that up several years ago, and there's now, you know, literally like 300-400, and then we've also hooked on with another team where there's another like 300-400. So, but there's also like another CIO Discord, or, you know, Slack and some stuff like that. But you look at even CISL and the team, they've got the CISO XC thing, so there's several hundred down in there. So we do tend to communicate ourselves, but we tend to do it in clusters. I wish it wasn't as clustered. I would love to see like a US-based or actually a global organization that runs CISOs, but that's going to be a challenge to do it in a nonprofit kind of way. So a lot of us talk, but there are definitely a lot of people who aren't, you know, part of that. And that's been leveled against the Tinkerers. It's like, well, you know, you're not inclusive as far as like letting everybody in. And we're like, well, no, we're not inclusive to let everybody in. We're very careful because it's Chatham House rules. It's, you know, all the other things. And quite honestly, we don't want assholes in.
My argument, and I'm going to interject, because like my argument is that, yeah, you guys talk amongst yourselves, but what about dev teams? What about Within the organization.
Yeah, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. And I think, you know, what I loved about it. So Mark Miller and a bunch of the other folks a number of years ago, started the whole DevSecOps movement. There were a bunch of folks who started that. And that to me was it was both fantastic and also depressing in a way. It was fantastic to have DevSecOps or DevOps or SecOps or whatever. I love the fact that it was officially recognized that, hey, development, security, and operations are going to fucking talk with each other. But in some ways, it depressed me because really DevSecOps is just another word for communication. So we actually had to form something for communication, call it something different, an acronym, and hope for the best. It's frustrating that we have to do that. But the fact it was done and the fact it's driven a lot of communication, I think, is absolutely amazing. I think it also behooves a lot of us to step outside of the DEF CON blackouts, RSAs, and go talk at healthcare conferences, finance conferences, manufacturing conferences, and people are doing that. But it's not as prolific as it probably should be. And I think, you know,
that's a really good point, actually, because when you go to like the black hats and all that kind of stuff, the talks tend to be feeds and speeds and in the weeds, right? Like really kind of technical security language, where when you're going to like, there's a really good technology conference in Chicago for manufacturers, and the talks there are in business speak that anybody that's attending that can understand, whether it's a cybersecurity discussion, because maybe it's about, but it helps, I think, because I do see, Dina, I think your point is that a lot of times there's a challenge within the industry because the security practitioners don't necessarily speak the business language to be able to explain things across the organization, right? Is that kind of what you're getting to?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a chunk of that. And I think it's getting better. But I mean, you think about it from a CISO standpoint. I mean, we have all sorts of areas that we have to work through and to some degree influence. You know, we've obviously got somebody on the board. We've got the CEO we have to talk to. We've got the CISO we got to talk to. We've got the direct reports we talk to. We've got the security team we report to. We have IT. We have development. We have network. We have server team. We have all these other teams. And that's just tech focused. Now you've got the manufacturing. You've got the finance. You've got sales and marketing. You've got HR. You've got, you know, legal and compliance. You've got governance and risk. You've got international teams. You've got, I mean, there's, and we touch every single one of those. You know, kind of like legal and compliance. But, you know.
And suppliers. Yeah. And those folks.
Right.
That specific example right there takes me back to the slide that, you know, the ecosystem slide that we looked at, the different tiers.
Yeah.
Remember, behind the scenes. So you have those different tiers. How do you communicate between them? It's all different. Everybody, like the conversation is very nuanced between each of those different kind of tiers and pillars within the tiers.
Oh yeah. I mean, it definitely is. I mean, you've either got to be articulate enough and effective enough to be able to communicate across all those tiers, or you got to surround yourself with people who are better at you than certain things. Perfect example, Terra. Terra is a fantastic example of this. Terra is amazing at having conversations, not just in governance, risk, and compliance, but Terra's great at having conversations with the user base. She's absolutely fantastic in her approach with that one. So when you've got somebody who can bridge GRC, tech, and also compliance stuff, and also talk at a technical level, and then talk with the user side of things, but also go in front of the CFOs and folks of that world, that's fantastic. Now I have somebody I can lean on who, quite honestly, is probably better at me than talking to the user. She's nicer than I am. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest about this one.
She is. True.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, she'll kill him with kindness. I'll just walk him with a fucking taser. I mean,
The other thing too, I think, for sellers and marketers to think about as it pertains to this specific thing is understanding whether, like, if you're trying to get your product or your service into an organization, understand what that CISO or your buyer's ability to communicate effectively within the organization is. It's hard to do, but you can get a read on that kind of
different
things. I will often ask, what was the last project that you were successful in implementing and how did you do it?
Will they divulge that?
Yeah, if we're far enough down the buying cycle where it's now he's got to take it or she's got to take it to decision makers, I want to know how that person's going to do that so that I can make sure that they're going to be effective.
I mean, that's a huge one because, again, it's, you know, I'm in any one year, we're juggling numerous projects at any point in time. It's not just a linear system. And we've typically got a number of projects on. and sub projects and overall projects to report to the board and stuff like that. So when you sit there and you're like, okay, you know, I want to put in, you know, I want to put in the managed services, you know, the managed services side of things. So, you know, we're bringing in NewSpire, we're going to do this. What 30 seconds do I need to tell the board? What 5 minutes do I need to tell my peer group? What 2-hour conversation do I need to tell the technical teams? And how do I just let the users know we got them covered? You know, and so you look at it that way. That's that breakdown, there's your breakdown. And so sitting down with Maria and with NewSpire and going, hey, look, I need the 30-second pitch to the board. Where, this is what I typically do. What do you think? Where do you see the value in 2 sentences? You know, and then my peer group, hey, we're doing this. You know, last when we did this, it was me sitting down with David, and we sat down with David and Ryan Gersh and a whole bunch of the others to have those conversations, figured out where the alignment was, also figured out where the deltas were, which is why we have, you know, NewSpire doing everything in production. And then with the dev team, we've got the Sumo Logic stuff. You know, we've got a Bitbucket for them to chuck everything else in because they can have more management or more control. Those conversations came about because we approached it in a collaborative way. The tech team was an easy one. It's like, hey, this is what we would like to do. These are our options. Now do me a favor, go ask as many crazy questions as you want and let's figure this one out.
Well, and also by asking that and help, like it also helps me like understand I'm not trying to make more work for you. Yeah. My job is to make things as easy for you as possible. So if you can share with me kind of who you need to talk to, how those people consume information, you tell me what you need. I'll go build it and hand it to you.
Well, I think if that's helpful. When you get to that together, point, that's a together. Tough one because you've got to have a collaborative CISO or leader. Yes. Now, unfortunately, there are too many assholes out there and there are too many like, well, you know, I can't tell you that. For fuck's sakes, how am I going to work with you? Hmm. I've done the same thing with budgets. A perfect example, somebody here maybe yesterday about doing virtual CISO. They knew what they wanted, a VCISO, and they're like, hey, I'm like, first question out of my mouth is how much time do they need? Well, you know, 8 to 10 hours a week. Well, that's easy. That's one day. Here's the price. You know, and they're like, well, I'm like, okay, so do me a favor. Tell me what you've already told the client and tell me where I need to be and I'll tell you whether I can do it or not. I'm like, if you've already said something, just be fucking open and honest with me. Don't make me bet against myself. Don't make me come up with different prices. Just tell me where your budget is. Tell me what, and I'll tell you whether I can do it or not. Life is simple that way.
I feel like you and I sell very similar because that's exactly what I'm like, just tell me your number and I'll go get as close as I can to the number. I do not want to spend 9 cycles arguing over the price. Like that is a waste of
freaking time. It's a waste of everybody's time. It's like, look, if you've got the budget number and you've thrown it up against the wall, then let me know what it is. If I come in under it, it's brilliant. You now look like a hero or a heroine. If I'm going to be coming in above it and there's nothing I can do about it, then let's have that conversation right now. Yeah. And we agree to disagree and I go send you to Fred Blogs Incorporated. It'll do it for half the price and I'll see you in 12 months time when it's all fucked up. Oh, I've said that.
9 cycles?
Maybe.
People go through 9 cycles?
With people that are really close to the chest and they're not, so there's like 2 different types of buyers. There's people that are very collaborative. They're going to partner with you. And that's helpful because they're not going to waste your time. I'm not going to waste their time. And then there's the other side of the fence where they're very close to the chest. They're going to give you the minimum amount of detail you need to be able to sort of be able to align what you do to them, or to what they're looking for. But you're making a lot of guesses in terms of, is that the outcome that they were looking for? Or, what's the budget? Is there budget? And it's this whole thing. And it's that the latter doesn't happen, I don't think, as often anymore in this, the way that, because buyers have really shifted how they do things. But it makes everybody's job much more challenging when people aren't willing to share with you what do you want? Yeah. Like, tell me what you're looking for in the outcomes, and I'll tell you if I can do it or not very quickly.
Well, the other thing is, well, when you do that as well, to me, and again, having sat on that side a bunch of times, I'm like, okay, I want to see how serious you are. If you're kicking the tires, well, then go kick tires. I'll spend half an hour with you kicking tires. But if you've actually sat down and you've got the budget in place, you know what you do. It's basically that, you know, the BAMF to some degree, but it's also doing it in a way that's not that obvious. It's like, hey, you know, are you going to have to go fight for the budget or do you already have it approved? And if you've got it approved, what do we need to do to justify it? And, you know, what buy-in have you got at? Where are you at? Or are we playing games of like, well, maybe we'll think about it next year? You know, and that determines how much effort, willingness, and all the other stuff.
100%. And well, it also changes how I am going to support you. Yeah. I'm totally happy. If we still have to go get budget, that's fine. But I need to know that because then I need to know who we're asking it from so that we can build a we can build a narrative for that particular type of person or whatever the case may be versus budgets approved. I don't have to do all that work. You already have money. Yeah. Now I just have to talk to you and figure this out. Yeah. Right. And it's just understanding is the more that a buyer is willing to share with you, once you get to this is not going to happen on day one. It's not going to happen on day two, but once you've made it to a certain point in the discussion, it behooves the buyer to share this type of detail with their potential vendor, because the vendor can help them, you know, be successful so that everybody's successful.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of the big things is getting that point across to the buyers is tough sometimes because they're like, oh, I can't reveal my cards. Well, for fuck's sakes, this is not a game of bloody chess or anything. I'm either going to be able to help you or I'm not. Life is simple that way.
Yeah. Maria, you said something that's, sparked some interest for me. Buyers are doing things differently, change the way they're doing things. What do you mean by that?
I think even as little as like 24 months ago, there wasn't this like people sure were consuming information off the internet and through back channels and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of people were still taking calls. They were still responding to emails. They would listen to a pitch like a cold call, or at least they were answering the phone. That when Chris knows he needed an MSSP, he already knew that. He already knew the three he wanted to talk to. And so when he gets on the phone with somebody, he literally pulled up a spread. We had an NDA signed really quick and he pulled up his entire roadmap and said, where can you help?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There was no slides. There was no nothing. None of that is even remotely necessary because he's already done the research on the few companies that he maybe wanted to entertain talking to or whatever. I think there's a lot more of that going on if I actually get the opportunity to talk to a CISO, which is like, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen often unless they're ready
0.2%.
to talk to you. 0.2%. But if somebody's willing to take a call with you and they're at that level, they have a mission, they have a purpose. They're no longer, you don't run into these situations where people are like, I didn't even look you up. What do you do? Mm. Nobody wants, they don't have time to take those calls anymore, where that used to actually happen quite frequently.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's been my experience. I would love to hear from anybody else on the side.
I think you're right.
That's
kind of your observation. Yeah. My Friday afternoons, I put aside for those kind of conversations. And those, they're 30-minute conversations on a Friday afternoon to have those like general checking on conversations. But that's it. And I think I'm relatively rare in doing that as well. I don't think there's too many folks out there that do that.
No, there's not. There's like two.
Ouch.
All right, we went through quite a bit today. We didn't cover half of what we wanted to cover from those questions, but we should do a part two because I think some of those questions that I had here prepared for the conversation are compelling.
We're good.
But yeah, I mean, we have all day, all year to talk about this stuff. It's changing. It's developing. We're working towards progress with regards to communication. So I love this. I appreciate the both of you. Any imparting thoughts before we sign off?
Chris?
I think Maria's right, which is, this process can be long and arduous, but it doesn't have to be. It absolutely doesn't have to be if both parties are willing to come to the table and talk. And that's it. It's back to communication, open, honest communication. And a lot of times, I think it's the CISO, the leader, the buyers, whatever you want to call us, are the ones that have to be willing and ready to do that. We have to be the ones that sit down and go, okay, we're going to have another conversation. Here is the roadmap. Here's what I need help with. Here's where I feel like I see the help. And that's communication. It's both ways. It really is. But it's got to be open and honest communication. I think the CISO's got to, there are times to play the cards close, and there are times when you've just got to take a step back and go, hey, we need to collaborate on this one.
I totally agree. And I think from my perspective, it's okay to ask for that too. If you approach these people with honesty, transparency, the spirit of being very genuine, having some empathy, and you do that from the very beginning, which is how we should all be acting, because that's how you do everything else in life, right? It's no different. So if you just come at them like a person and you can show that kind of that spirit of, I want to help you, you can just ask them, can we do this way so that I can be the most helpful to you with the time you're willing to spend with me today?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll add to that. Don't wait for the perfect opportunity and the perfect pitch and the perfect way. Just get out there, be authentic, be true. Don't wait. is what I'm saying. Like there's no perfect, don't wait for budget. Just go out there and try it out, test your message and be honest. And I think you'll make strides versus waiting and working and massaging message, trying to figure it out. I mean, we don't have time these days. You have a very short window of time. So I'll sign off for that, but I appreciate the both of you.
I think Cody has something actually we should talk about, maybe not next week or the week after, about how do you sell your brand. I think actually something like that, that'd be a good conversation, like in a week or two's time. Let's hit these
guys. I like that too, because I would like to learn how to do that.
You know, but my fucking random acts of violence. I'm like, somebody's like, hey, we'd love to position you. I'm like, okay. So yeah, I think that'd be a fantastic conversation to have.
Well, I'm happy to uncover that. I know some people who are rock stars on that specific topic, insecurity, so we could maybe bring them on too.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.